Today, we'd like to see the title over the 15 years in Isaiah chapters 38-39. To the souls on this online world through podcast or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in chapter 38, verse 18, for Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. What does it mean in the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2, in chapter 39, verse 6, behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. What's the problem was it to Hezekiah in the context, and what can we learn from here? Last question in chapter 39, verse 8. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. What does it mean in the context, and how can you apply it to our lives? In the last time in Isaiah chapter 37, 36, 38, about Sennacherib's death, then the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, they were the corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. Now it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that his sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, struck him down with the sword. And they escaped into the land of Ararat. Then Ishadon, his son, reigned in his place. Sennacherib's death also was recorded in the 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35, prophesied by Isaiah. The anger of the Lord destroyed the Assyrians, so the word of God against Sennacherib was fulfilled. It's a lesson that when we face so difficult circumstances, we should go immediately to God, surrender ourselves to the Lord, and pray or do supplication to the Lord, who might handle the issues in His way. Like Jesus surrendered and laid down His life, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That cross-reference right there. Then, chapter 38, verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. The traditional scholarly view often places the events of Isaiah 38, Hezekiah, mortal illness, his plea, and God's promise of healing, and 15 more years, including protection from Assyria. And Isaiah chapter 39, the visit of Babylon embers chronologically before the events of Isaiah 36-37, the Assyrian siege by Sennacherib and the miraculous deliverance of Jerusalem. This sequence is largely inferred from verse 6 of chapter 38, where God tells Hezekiah, I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of a king of Assyria, suggesting that Sennacherib's threat was still present when Hezekiah became sick, and that his illness and recovery happened just before the major deliverance that followed. Verse 2, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have worked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Facing the devastating prophecy from the prophet Isaiah, set your house in order, for you shall die, you shall not recover. King Hezekiah was overcome with grief and strong aversion to death. Driven by his deep distress, he turned his face toward the wall, a sign of profound private prayer and anguish, and wept bitterly as he prayed direct to God, desperately pleading for his life and recalling his faithful service. This intense and immediate reaction of a sorrowful prayer demonstrated his unwillingness to accept the pronouncement of death and his profound reliance on divine mercy. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah and saying, Go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. When Isaiah prophesied Hezekiah's impending death, the king responded with fervent prayer for healing. God heard his plea and granted him 15 additional years of life. This event raises an age-old question about the relationship between God's sovereignty and the power of prayer. If God's purposes are unchangeable and will always be accomplished, some might wonder why prayer is necessary at all. Hezekiah's story clearly demonstrates that prayer can move the heart of God and alter the course of events. In response to his sincere prayer and tears, God instructed Isaiah to return and declared that Hezekiah's life would be extended by 15 years, showing that prayer truly makes a difference. Then verse 6, I will deliver you this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Before the Assyrian invasion reached Jerusalem, Hezekiah prayed earnestly for his life, and God granted him 15 more years. Yet this raised a sobering question. Was that extension truly for nation's good? During those added years, Hezekiah's wife gave birth to Manasseh, who had become the most wicked king in Judah's history. Manasseh reversed all his father's godly reforms and led the nation into deep spiritual decay. In hindsight, Judah might have fared better than Hezekiah died when God first decreed it. This account reminds us that while God's perfect will is always the best, He may sometimes allow His permissible will when people insist on their own way, often to their own harm. God promised Hezekiah's deliverance from the Assyrians and defense of Jerusalem, but the outcome also teaches that insisting on our will instead of God's best can lead to painful consequences. Verse 7, and this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do these things which he has spoken. Behold, I will bring the shadow on the sundial, which has gone down with the sun on the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees on the dial by which it had gone down. Return the 10 degrees on the dial. Some people struggle with this verse because their view of God is too limited. But we don't have that problem since we believe God is all-powerful and can do anything He chooses. For us, there is no conflict in accepting what God does, even when we don't fully understand yet. The difficulty only arises for those who try to fit God into human reasoning or narrow ideas, and for them, we can only feel sorry that they miss the greatness of who God truly is. Verse 9, this is the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and had recovered from his sickness. In the verses, the following verses 10 to 20, we find the song Hezekiah whole after he recovered from his illness. He had thought that he was going to die, but when God healed him, he expressed his gratitude and relief through this song. I said, in the prime of my life, I shall go to gates of Sheol's grave. I am deprived of the remainder of my years. I said, I shall not see Yah, the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall observe man no more among inhabitants of the world. My life span is gone. Take from me like a shepherd's tent. I have cut off my life like a weaver. He cuts me off from the loom, from day until night. You make an end of me. I have considered until morning like a lion. So he breaks all my bones. From day until night, you make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so I shattered. I mourned like a dove. My eyes fall from looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He has both spoken to me, and he himself has done it. I shall walk carefully all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So you will restore me and make me live. 17. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had a great bitterness. But you have loving delivered my soul from the pits of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. That's a glorious Lord, you have forgiven my sins and cast them behind your back. Verse 18, for Sheol cannot thank you, death cannot praise you, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your truth. This question, Hezekiah realized that his prayer had brought to him both deliverance and forgiveness. When he said, death cannot praise you, he may have meant that he didn't yet understand the joy of eternal life for those who trust in God, or simply that the dead body cannot physically praise him. Either way, Hezekiah knew that God had spared his life, and he expressed his gratitude through his song, this song of praise. The concept of resurrection wasn't fully understood in the Old Testament time. people had a glimpse of it, but it became clearly only after Jesus rose from the dead. So the following verses, 19-20, Hezekiah ends by praising God for giving him life and the chance to continue worshiping him. The cross reference right there. The living man, he shall praise you as I do this. The Father shall make known your truth to the children. Hezekiah talked about how important it is to pass on the joy of the Lord from one generation to the next, just like sharing faith from parents to children, so that each generation continues to know and trust in God. 20, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my song. We sting the instrument all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Hezekiah said, so I wrote this to be sung. It was a song of joy, gratitude for the healing and the extra years of life God had given him when he thought he was going to die. Filled with thankfulness, he wrote this song to be sung by the people in worship, accomplished by stringed instrument. 21-22. Now Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of fix and apply it as a poultice on the boil, and he shall recover. And Hezekiah had said, what is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? The sign was the sun moving backward on the sundial by 10 degrees. 39, chapter 39. At the time of Merodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. And Hezekiah was pleased with them and showed them the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory. All that was found among the treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did this man say, and from where did they come to you? So Hezekiah said, they come to me from a far country, from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day and shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. In the context, Hezekiah showed the Babylon embers all his treasures, his weapons, and the glory of his kingdom. But Isaiah had warned him not to trust Babylon, because one day they would turn against Judah and take its wealth. Hezekiah didn't realize that Babylonians, not the Assyrians, would eventually threaten Jerusalem. His proud display of his utter treasures brought serious consequences later, 2 Kings 25. His actions were short-sighted with pride. While he was trying to express gratitude to the Babylonians for the blessings God had given him. So Daniel chapter 1, then 1 to the course reference. Verses. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. Hezekiah showed true faith in God, accepting that what God says is right and good. He acknowledged the consequences of his own mistakes and was grateful that God would allow peace during his life. However, after Hezekiah died, the nation quickly returned to sin. And his son Manasseh, who rebuilt the idolatry sites his father had destroyed. Hezekiah still struggled with pride, even after he experienced the double miracles of healing and deliverance. So we covered all three questions. We are continuing to keep on praying. All missionaries, prayer requests basically weekly, many the countries they sent to us, you know, especially recently we are praying in Ukraine, you know, elder people, the feeding of, you know, Hungary. Also we need to pray underground, the innocent people were holocausted in Syria. So in other countries, Haiti, Afghanistan, you know, even Iran, you know, and so on, you know, keep on praying for them. Okay, let's sing all together Maranatha song on brochure.